as you speak to us and in these words, and you know, these are the personal words. We can take it from you, and you start with the question, have I not commanded you? Be courageous and strong. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And oh Father, this promise, we want to hold it so close to us that doesn't matter what the circumstances that we are going through. Oh Father, you have commanded us to be courageous, be strong in those, because you are with us. You're going with us through those challenges and those difficulties, oh God. And so we just want to surrender and want to be strong and face the situations in our lives because you are with us. Thank you, God, for that assurance in our lives. We praise you and we give you thanks, oh God, for that promise. Father, as we continue to worship you this morning, we worship you through the giving of our tithes and offering, through the reading of our word and reflecting upon that. And as we give our tithes and offering, oh Father, receive it for your glory, oh God, and bless it for your kingdom, oh Father God. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you and we give you thanks for your provisions in our lives. And we want to give the tenth of our what you have given us. And oh Father, just receive it and open our heart and help us to give joyfully and cheerfully to you, oh Father. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you and we give you thanks, oh God, for this opportunity to worship you in this way. We pray for our children as they go for their time together learning about you, that you will bless them and watch over them also, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, and just lead us and guide us today as we reflect upon your word, that not only my words be spoken, but speak to our hearts and our minds, oh God, today. Thank you, God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are going to worship our God through the giving of our tithes and offering. I just want to kind of say a couple of things. There are some special offerings which are always there throughout the year, the opportunity for us to give to those. One of the offering I just want to kind of highlight today that is beyond our tithes and offering, that we don't take it from our tithes and offering and move that towards that, but as God leads you, we have something called, matching scholarship for the college students that go from our church to our college universities, our universities of our churches, which are, all over United States. One of that is Northwest Nazarene University. And one of the scholarships they offer there is if the church will give from the church about $850, they multiply that by 7 times, and they release that money to the student. And currently we have Eric Messick who is studying there, and if God leads you, we have that fund of matching scholarship which can be given to him, which kind of makes it easier for our students, not only for Eric, but others who may go in future or who are there, especially to Northwest Nazarene University. So as God leads you, just contribute something towards that, and you can write it on your check or on your envelope that it is a matching scholarship type of a thing, and so it'll go towards that. So there is an opportunity for all of us to kind of do that. So think about it, consider that. But let's praise God, give thanks for this time of worship and time of giving, and as we worship through the giving, let's do that cheerfully. So let's clap and do that. Ushers, if you will come and take the offering, please.
Let's go ahead and sing that chorus again of Goodness in God as the children are going.
Good morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. We are in the series called Life Hurts and God Heals. And today is the last sermon in that series. And we are going to just kind of wrap up that series this Sunday today. And then from next Sunday for a while, we are going to be, you know, Wednesday, as Renee said, is Ash Wednesday and our Lent season starts. That means we just want to focus and reflect upon our life, that what Jesus has done for us this next 40 days, you know, after Wednesday, and what Jesus has done. It's a very significant time in our calendar year to really reflect. It's the reason it becomes a significant, because it's just not the ritualistic thing that we celebrate. But we want to remind ourselves that it is an extremely significant thing that Jesus came on this earth, and not only he came, but he suffered, and he took our sins, and he has provided, and he went to the cross, died for us, and rose again on the third day. So we are taking our journey towards celebrating the Easter, which is the resurrection day that Jesus rose again. And we want to reflect during these days that the suffering and, you know, all the things that Jesus has done for us, it is a good thing. So we'll be talking about that for the next few Sundays after this. But as we kind of conclude our series, Life Hurts and God Heals in Our Life's Hurts, it is not desire of God to kind of keep us hurting in our life, because God loves us so much, and he wants to take us further in our life. But God also wants to walk with us through the challenges and difficulties that we have. And we have kind of looked at different things during this series, that what hurts us in our life, the deep hurts and the wounds and the scars that create in our life. And the first thing we looked at, just want to kind of remind you that what we have been talking about is, you know, the first thing that hurts us, that one of the things, you know, that's what we talked on the first Sunday on this series, that we just refuse to accept the love of God that is there for us. We rely on our own self so much, and God offers himself to us, and we refuse to kind of accept that. And that can be a huge problem, and we talked about that. Then we talked about the regrets that we hold on to in our life, and the past thing, and we want to live in the past and hold on to, oh, this is what I did not do, or this is what happened, and it just kind of keeps bothering us in our life, and that kind of creates a lot of pain. And we talked about that. And then resentment is a big thing in many of our lives, that we become a resentful, angry, and just kind of is always operating in that space in our life. And that does not help anybody, but it creates a lot of pain and brokenness in our life. And God, you know, has healing offered to us for that. And we talked about that. And last week we talked about pride, that we can have that pride, so much self-reliance, and again, thinking about ourselves more than who we are, more than what God has created us, and that can create a lot of hurt. Today, we are going to look at something called trap of comparison. And we find ourselves in this trap of comparison, which is a very common thing that we can find ourselves, and the one of the reason and the outcome of that is a lot of pain and hurt in our life, because we always are caught up into comparing ourselves to somebody or something or some situation in our life, and really built up a lot of pain. And there is a word for that, that is, we get into the whole mindset of envying other people. Some people we know, some people we don't know. Envying, you know, the situations and so many things. So we're going to look at some of that, but let's start with this amazing story about an eagle. And there was this eagle, you know, Dr. Moody kind of talks about, tells this story about eagle. And this eagle, he says that there is one better flying eagle who could just fly high and just, you know, go to the new heights and all that. And this eagle is just kind of enjoying his flight. And if you, you know, and just amazing. And then there is this another eagle who is struggling with flying. You know, he can fly, but not as good as this amazing flying eagle. And so this eagle who starts becoming, you know, jealous, and he says, I wish I could fly like that eagle, but I just simply cannot achieve the heights that he does. And I'm always bothered by it. It always bothers me that why him and why not me? And he just kind of gets into the trap of comparison and just kind of is very bothered by that. And he's jealous. And he finds one sportsman and he tells him, man, I wish I could fly like that eagle. And he says, you know, do you have bow and arrow here? I'll, you know, please help me. You know, can you just shoot that and kill that eagle? And so that, you know, the problem is solved. But is the problem really solved? Because you're just going to eliminate that. You're not, that is not going to help you to achieve that height anyways. And so he was in this trap of jealousy and comparison. And then he says, you know, the sportsman says to him that, you know, I don't have enough feathers for my arrow. Can you give me one feather? So he plucks his one feather and gives him. And this kind of gives, and then he, you know, he tries to kill the that eagle, but it is so high it doesn't reach there. And this jealous eagle just keeps giving all his feathers, and soon he finds featherless. And so all his opportunity to even fly what the height he was going to fly at is just kind of gone, and it's just kind of, he's in a bad shape. And so the sportsman just kind of looks at this eagle. He cannot fly, so he kills him, you know. And so that is how it works out in our real life, that when we find ourselves in the trap of jealousy or trap of, you know, comparison, when we envy other people and try to eliminate them or you know, look at it wrong ways, that it can really create problems in our life. You know, the reality is this: if we are envious of others, the one you will hurt the most is yourself. That is the reality. Many times, or most of the times, or in a high percentage of the time, the person whom you are comparing yourself with is not even aware of that. And you have given so much control to that person in your life, and you're hurting yourself. There's a lot of pain is being built in your life. And we are going to really focus on that today and look at some of the things that we can learn in our life about this condition of ours that we can find ourselves very easily. You know, God does not like envy. God does not like ourselves comparing ourselves to other people, known or unknown. When I was growing up, when I was young and stupid, if I'm allowed to say that, you know, I loved playing cricket. And so I would watch on the TV so many, you know, great cricketers who were there. And I wanted to be like that, but I could never become like that. You know, all of us have that desire, or some of us, not playing cricket, but we have our own desires. And I would be jealous. Man, those people not even know who, you know, we have never met. And it bothered me, and it just kind of, you know, I'm never good enough as that person. And you just kind of find ourselves, and we don't even know each other. And we kind of, you know, just kind of builds that whole painful feeling in our life. God doesn't like us to be envious. And, you know, Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, the Bible really talks very clearly about it. And it says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife and his manservant or maidservant and his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Don't look at that. And we are not in that age today where there are donkeys and animals and those kinds of things. So it is written in the context of that culture that we find ourselves looking at our neighbors or friends or whoever they are, their situation, and we think that the grass is always greener on the other side. And we think that if we have that situation, only if I have that situation, only if I can be in that situation or in that position or whatever it may be, that I will be fine. And we kind of hold on to that, keep thinking about that, and be envious in those situations. Just to make sure what envy is, it is holding the grudge about the situation. You know, I want what you have, or gripped with the fear you are going to take what I have. You know, we have certain possessions in our possession, and we are fearful that somebody is going to steal those. And so we find ourselves and on guard about that also. And we find ourselves, and we forget who we are and what God has made us. We get into this trap of comparison. You know, we are taught to compare. We are taught to compare maybe by our parents or the kind of conversations we have been a part of from our childhood, and how we have had those conversations in our family, talking about other people or other kids or other situations, and that kind of creates a culture within us to compare and want to have what others have and I don't have. And one of the writer, Betsy Coven, kind of writes about that our society is created to compare and do the comparison and live in a dissatisfaction mode all the time. And the reason, you know, the society wants us to be in a dissatisfaction, unhappy, and never fulfilled or satisfied mode is because they want to sell us more things and more things, and only if we can have this, or only we can go to this vacation, or only we can do these things, or only if my situation changes to this perfect situation, I'm going to be so happy. And it seems like we are just running after things and it never comes about. Let me turn your attention to the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12. And I'm reading this because it's kind of explains it a little bit better from New Contemporary Version, the translation, which kind of talks in a simple language and which says this: we do not dare to compare ourselves with those who think they are very important. We don't dare to compare ourselves with those who think they are very important. They use themselves to measure themselves, and they judge themselves by what they themselves are. This shows that they know nothing. And the Word of God tells us that stay clear from the trap of comparison with other people, especially the people who are, you know, anybody really. And because that is not going to take us in a good space within ourselves or in our life. We cannot run after those things based on other people's lives or other people's situations or other people's possessions. It is only going to destroy us and create a lot of pain in our life. And that is the reality of the life, and scripture describes that. So really quickly, let's look at some of the very common ways that we compare ourselves. We envy talents and abilities of other people. Many times we compare ourselves with other people because they're more talented, that they have more abilities, they can speak well, they can carry around, in the society better, or they have certain skills, or they have built better businesses, or whatever it may be, and or they just seems to be going on vacations that I want to go on, or whatever the situation may be. And we can just imagine in our mind that what are we comparing ourselves with? Maybe you're in that situation that you're comparing other people's situations and their talents and their abilities and the way they can do that. If we think about the kids and it's a very common, and I expressed that thing just a while ago, that, I cannot play the sports like that other kid can play. And they have the more better abilities than I have. And that creates, we start thinking less of ourselves than who we are. Last week we talked about thinking about ourselves better than who we are. And this is kind of thinking less of ourselves than who God has created us to be. And we find ourselves in that trap of that comparison, and it keeps eating us over and over again. And we start thinking about those things day and night, and it just kind of traps us into that trap of envy and comparison. We envy image and appearances. That looks amazing. That looks great. Somebody's house is just, designed so well. Somebody's car is so nice, and we want that, and we want that, and I don't have that. And that's the reason approximately, $6 billion in our country or even more by now are spent on advertising, just selling something which we really don't need. And if we look around our house, maybe including my house, there are so many things that we have that we really don't need it. And we are just kind of, maybe this is great for me, this is great for me. And we subconsciously find ourselves in that place that I need this, because we are comparing the image and appearances of whatever we have, and we just don't feel that it is enough. We shop many things, and there is nothing wrong in taking care of ourselves, of our body, our house. We should be taking care of ourselves, but there is a thin line between taking care of ourselves and stepping into the envious mode in our life that why are we doing what we are doing? Why are we buying what we are buying? Do I need that? Or it is just about looking good or creating an image about myself? And we got to think about that. All these things built a very deep hurt in our lives, and we sometimes don't realize that. There are other ways of comparison in our life that we envy possessions and positions of people or the situations that, you know, I'm not in this position to kind of do this or do that. Only if I find I feel trapped sometimes that I feel, you know, pushed in a corner and my situation is just not right because I feel stuck in this situation. And only if I can change my situation and get into the situation that this other person has or the better situation, I will be happy. And I just want to compare my situation with something imaginary which is kind of better for me. And we try to do that and we find ourselves into other situation and we are still not happy and we still find ourselves in a very difficult, hurtful situation because the situation, changing our situations alone is not going to bring us happiness. That alone is not going to do much for us. There are deep-rooted problems that are going on within ourselves, which is always comparing or, you know, envying other people's situations or other people. Again, these things create a lot of hurt within ourselves. We compare ourselves with someone. We compare our situation for, you know, because they have possession, the positions are better. But this is what it is. God calls us for spiritual maturity in our life. And spiritual maturity is the ability to do what God wants us to do in our life. You know, God has created us in a very special way, and we are going to talk about that. And I want to kind of focus on today that what is God's call if we focus on what God has called me to be as a person, as a human being. And it is important to really focus on that and move our attention from what I'm comparing myself with. And so as we look at that really quickly, you know, the number one, that this is how we can free ourselves. And this is what God really leads us into our life to kind of really think about these things. And number one thing is this, the first, realize that God has made you special. And we have talked numerous times, and I have preached numerous times just this topic alone, you know, in our church and in our community, that God has created you extremely special. There is no other person on the face of this earth that is like you. There is no other person on the face of this earth that is like you. You know, look at what Scripture says, Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. For you created my inmost being. God has created your inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God's hand and God's involvement was there when you were being formed in your mother's womb. It was not just an accident, and God knew that you were going to come in this world, and he has put a lot of effort into creating you that who you are. I praise you because I am fearfully, and I'm reading this purposely very slowly, I praise you because you have fearfully and wonderfully, because you created me fearfully and wonderfully made. My name, my frame was not hidden from you. God knows everything about you. You have been created very wonderfully and carefully, and he has been involved in your life from the start, even before you took breath on in this world. And he knows everything about you. And he has given you the gifts. He has given you the talents that are needed. He has put you the way you look and everything. God has made you and His hand is upon you. You are a very special person and you are the only one. This is what the Bible says. He has taken enough time to create you in your mother's womb. And there is no reason for us to think that I am less than somebody else. And the whole idea that we start comparing ourselves to the situations, our circumstances, other people's position, or whatever maybe you are comparing and you are unhappy about within yourself because you think there is a better thing for me than where I am at right now. And because my abilities are not good enough, I don't look good enough, and things like that, just understand this. God has created you in a very special way and have given you the things that are needed, the gifts and the talents and everything. You know, God has placed a call upon your life that is very important. And if you will let God love you and let Him build a relationship with you, you will just open your heart and surrender yourself and say, God, do the work in my life because you know me better than anybody. Even I know myself. Lead me and guide me, oh God. Open the doors for my life. And I just want to operate in the framework of your relationship and want to know better about myself. It is a freeing thing in our life. We do not have to think about what is going on in other people's life or what they're doing in a sense because it is going to bring a lot of hurt and a lot of pain in our life. Let's start building the relationship with God and ask God, oh God, I want to learn more things about myself because you have created me. Let your talents, let your gifts come out and live those gifts to the maximum. You know, let's stop thinking about the situation in present, situations in past, situation that may appear in future, anything that bothers us, any people, any possessions, any material things, forget about those. You know, let's maximize our life with God and ask God to really maximize our life with our gifts and talents because He has created us. And when we come to that place, we are operating at that level where God wants us to be. That is the best place to be on the face of this earth. We are the happiest people. We are we are most satisfied people. We do not have to have what other person has or other situations that we are thinking about. We do not need to do that, but simply get in touch with God and let Him be who you are and function that way. Just try that thing out and you will be released. And you will be just free of all that bondage that you're carrying in your life day after day after day. Let God do that in your life. You know, the second thing, very important thing, to release ourselves from that kind of a pain and that kind of a bondage is recognize the Lord's lordship in our life. He is God. He has created you. He knows everything about you, and He is your Lord. You know, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Romans 12, 2 says this. Don't copy. I mean, it cannot get clearer than this. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to to know God's will for you, which is a good and a pleasing and a perfect will for you. So God has a plan for your life. And you have probably heard that many times. But how do we know his plan in our life? How do we know what God's will is in our life is, you know, stop comparing, you know, the customs, or stop copying the customs of this world. Stop copying that I, you know, stop thinking about, oh, this is a perfect situation that other person has. I need that situation. Stop doing that. Or I would like to be like this person. No, I don't want to be like this person, because God has created who you are to be who you are. Let's be the best in who God has created you to be. Let's, you know, let him transform our life and focus on ourselves with God and see what God is doing and wants to do in our life. And it begins with accepting the lordship of God in our life. You know, making him first in our life. And so the question really is this in our life today: is he the Lord of your life? And we can say that. We can sing the song, he is the Lord of my life. We can say that in our life, but have we truly made him the Lord of our life? And simply what that means is he becomes first in our life. And it is, you know, we are saved and God has forgiven our sins and we have been coming to church and we are reading the Bible and all those things are good, but some of that self we are still holding on to, the selfish thing, that control of myself, my desires. And some of my desires are not good. I always compare. I always are dissatisfied with this thing or that thing or other thing. And you can make the list in your mind about those things. And why the reason for that is because it is my desire. But the accepting God's lordship over our life is we say to God, not my desire, O God. It is your desire. And I want to do what you want me to do in my life. Once you surrender that everything, the Spirit of God helps us to really give that control away to God, because it cannot happen in our own strength. As a human strength, we can struggle and struggle within ourselves, and we call that we are in a crisis moment, and we need the help of the Spirit of God to kind of release ourselves. And when we release that control and receive the lordship of our God in our life, the burden is lifted. And he leads us and guides us. And we are in the amazing space that we operate ourselves in what God has created us to be. So who cares how I look? Oh, who cares what, you know, I'm not worried about other people's situation, because this is the best situation God has created for me, because he's my Lord and he's leading me and he is doing the best for me in my life. And we call that, you know, the sanctifying experience in our life. So today I just want to kind of challenge you that maybe you have experienced the forgiveness of your sins, but the struggle is real because you're holding on to your own selfish desires and not giving everything to God. And God is looking for that surrender from your life. That is what accepting the lordship of God upon your life is all about. Are we willing to kind of give that away? You know, the last thing is, remember the golden rule is, you know, and this is written in Luke chapter 6, verse 31, that do to others as you would like them to do to you. And so just because you are envious about somebody and somebody's situation, don't be nasty to them. If you're nasty to them, that's what is going to come back to you. And it is pretty, you know, very straightforward to kind of, you know, free ourselves from the envy. But the last thing is this, reassess God's standards for your life. Sometimes we place the standards for our life too high. Or it's not about high or low or unachievable, because God has not created us for that, to achieve that. God has not given us the gifts to kind of go to that particular place that what we are thinking. He has probably created you for the much better things in life. And so reassess the standards for our life, and we are just shooting for some low goal or some, you know, the goal which is not for us. And so it is important to reassess what God has created us to be. You know, Galatians chapter 4, chapter 6, verses 4 to 5 in Message translation says, make a careful, this is amazing. It says, gives the direction to our life. God says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. Try to understand that with God, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing a creative best you can with your own life with the help of God. And it is important for us to assess our life, where we are, how God has created us to be. And oh God, what is the call that you have placed upon my life? What am I supposed to be doing? What circumstances I should be operating in? All those things, assess that with God. And when we come to that place, you will experience the freedom in our lives. So friends, it is a real issue that we can face in our life, a trap of comparison. You know, we can compare in many different ways. Our mind can go many different places. And it can be a really bothersome things that can keep hurting us and keep hurting us. You know, but here is how God creates a way for us to be healed. Realize that God has made you very special. Nobody like you is in existence in this world. Recognize that lordship of God upon your life. Give control to God fully in his hand and let him do the work in your life. Remember the golden rule, just do what you expect other people to do to you. And that is the biblical thing to do, and reassess God's standard for your life, what God has created you to be. Work out with God. You cannot work out that unless you surrender completely to God. And so God really wants to place you in a sweet spot, so to speak. That is the desire of God for all of our lives. Are we willing to go there? Or are you going to fight with him to kind of, you know, live in this trap of comparison in our life? We have, you know, God has given us the better way. So let's reflect on this, and the outline is with you. Just go home and read some of those scriptures that are there written down, and reflect in your life. Oh God, what are the things I am comparing myself with? How can I find a way out of that? And God wants to show you the way out of that. Let's bow our heads and pray and give thanks to God today. Father in heaven, we are so grateful to you, oh God, for who you are. During these weeks, we have looked at so many things that really generate a lot of pain and hurt in our life, oh Father. And these are the sources of pain and hurt that happens in our life, oh Father. And these are not all of them, but we try to look at some of them, oh Father. And some of us are facing either one or two things in our life, oh Father God. And we pray today that you will help us to surrender ourselves to you, Because you have created us in a very special way. You have a better path for our life. Help us, oh God, not to keep fighting and creating our own path in our life, oh God, but surrender to you and walk the path you show us to be in our life. You are a God who is a very practical God, oh God. You will open the doors that are just right for us if we depend on you, if we seek your will in our life, and you will close the doors which needs to be closed in our life. And so, oh God, we want to surrender ourselves to you today. Have your way, oh Father, in our life, and help us to live a life that is pleasing to you in that sweet spot, oh God, that we are enjoying our life, oh Father. It is a life of freedom that you offer. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
If you'll stand, we are going to sing Hosanna, Praise is Rising. And as we sing, lift up your praise, focus on the Lord, and ask him to show you how he made you, and focusing on giving thanks for how he made us. Thank you, Pastor, for that. Serve the Lord and let go of comparison. You are dismissed.